are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world.
There is a concept known as the Johari window. Let me say that again. Johari. J-O-H-A-R-I. Joseph Ingram and Harrington, I had his last name, but it didn't come to me just then. Johari, in the 1950s, these two psychologists were observing and studying human behavior. And one of the things that they noticed about us people is that there are aspects of ourselves. Good morning, Linda. Good morning, Lori. Glad you're both here. Lori Sprang is here. There are aspects of ourselves that we see, and there are aspects of ourselves that others see. And there are aspects of ourselves that we see that others do not see. And there are aspects of ourselves that others see that we don't see. And there are aspects of ourselves that no one sees, that no one observes. It's really a fairly fascinating concept. And I wrote about it, if I'm not mistaken. I've written 5 books, so sometimes I forget. But I think it's in Happy this year that I talk about the Johari window. So we all have aspects of ourselves that we do not see. Now, what was the thing that was presented to me in ministerial school that just absolutely irritated me? And that is this idea of, if you spot it, you got it. So how do we figure out if we've got this Johari window and there's 4 panes and there's aspects of ourselves that we see and other people see and aspects of ourselves that we see that other people about ourselves that others don't see, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What about those areas of ourselves that we don't see, especially if those areas are things that limit us in our lives? When this idea was presented to me, if you spot it, you got it. Like I said, I railed against it until I realized that one of the things that bothers me about other people is people who are not open to new ideas. And then I realized, people who already have their mind made up. People who think they already know everything. Consider that. As I've looked through your pet peeves and I've asked you all to share some of the things with you, perhaps what I want you to consider is, even if you don't have the actual aspect. So for example, aggressive drivers bother me. they can upset me. And by that I mean internally. I don't react. But in the past, I used to be a very aggressive driver myself. When I was in my late teens, I had a sports car, and my early 20s, and I was always zipping and zooming in front of everybody. And so now, what do you think it is that bothers me about other people? People who are aggressive drivers. So it's interesting because you may either have these attributes yourself. For example, I noticed that Michelle said that her pet peeve is people who are perpetually late. Now, you may not be a person who is perpetually late. You may be a person who used to be perpetually late or who struggles with being on time. So one of the things is that it may not be something that you currently It may be something you have done in the past. So it's either something, the Johari window and the if you spot it, you got it concept helps us out because either, number one, we see it in someone else and we don't realize that we currently do it. And so it's upsetting to us. Or number two, it is something that we've struggled with and we want to make sure that we keep it at arm's length. Here's what I mean. You want to talk about something other people do that to this day really just makes me go, like this, okay? Smoking, cigarette smoking. I grew up in a family in the South In the 1960s and 1970s, my mother smoked, my father smoked, both my grandparents smoked, all of my aunts and uncles smoked, our housekeeper smoked, everybody smoked. And my mother told me it was perfectly okay for us to start smoking. We just had to let her know and ask permission. It was kind of crazy, which of course I never did. So around 7, 8, 9, I was stealing cigarettes from my parents. By the time I was 13, I was smoking. I remember telling my mom that I would like to start smoking now. And she said, well, your 14th birthday's coming up in a few weeks. Wait until then. And at that point, I had an ashtray in the house that was in my room, and I smoked. So to this day, cigarette smoke, I mean, if I smell it 30 yards away, I'm like, rah. So what I'm trying to say is that I don't smoke, by the way. I have not smoked. I went back to smoking cigarettes a little bit there when I was in my late 30s, but that only lasted a few weeks because everyone in my office smoked. But I hadn't really smoked since I was in my 20s. So I had maybe 4 or 5 years there when I was a teen that I smoked. So the purpose of our pet peeve with other people is either to identify that we have that in ourselves, either as a current reality or as a past reality that we are attempting to guard against. Does that make sense? It is either something that we currently are doing ourselves, and it doesn't mean necessarily, by the way, that you're doing the actual behavior. It could be, for example, let's say that your pet peeve is people who are intolerant and vocal about it. Or I read somebody say that they don't like to be in lines where people are upset or irritable. Now, you may not be doing that, but either you may have done that in the past. That's being impatient, by the way. That person is being impatient. The word patient doesn't just mean waiting. Patient means waiting in a good mood. So this person is being impatient. So although in line, you may not be an impatient person, there are possibly, or more likely, probably, other areas in your life where you are impatient. And it just shows up in your irritability when you are in line. So it doesn't necessarily have to translate situationally. It has to do more with an issue or a challenge that you have. They found that people who struggled with being obese for many, many, many years, let's say, from children, and who finally, as adults maybe, get in shape and they drop the extra weight, they find that those people often are intolerant of people who struggle with their weight. It's actually a defense mechanism, not in a bad way. Not all of our defense mechanisms are bad. It is a way of defending ourselves from going back to becoming an obese person, to overeating. So that is why people who give up drinking become the biggest advocates for why everybody should quit drinking, or people who quit smoking talk about why everybody should quit smoking, or people who start exercising, which is no longer sitting around, are all about people who are giving, who rather are embracing something new, having left something behind. And there is an innate irritability in us over people who have not done that. And it sounds really terrible, doesn't it? It sounds like this terrible aspect of our personality. It's this, well, I did it, why can't you, kind of thing. But it's a way of protecting us from going back and being that way. Again, it does not always translate situationally. It could be an intolerance, or it could be, for example, again, going back to Michelle's comment about people who are chronically late. It could be a propensity to want to put off things yourself. You may be on time for events to meet other people, and you may also have a propensity to put things off for the future. So this idea of if you spot it, you got it, is something that helps us recognize those hidden aspects of our personality. I find it ironic that I literally wasn't thinking about this when I grabbed this mug this morning. And normally I finish my coffee. My mug says, by the way, if you're listening to this as a podcast, please don't smoke and I won't fart. When a person gives something up, they become militant against it as a way of literally being like a militant, a warrior, and keeping it out of their lives. So we all have aspects of our personality that we don't recognize. And one of the reasons we don't recognize them, I was realizing this morning, can often be our family of origin. If you're raised in a family of origin where everybody always yells at each other all the time, you can then get into a relationship with someone where if their family ever yelled, it was only because they were really upset about something, and you can get around someone who habitually speaks kind of loud, and to you, you feel really triggered. What are you mad about? I'm not mad. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. You sound like you are. Other people are our greatest mirrors. I shared with you a while back that I gave my relationship power of attorney to my good friend Brian. Now, there's no such thing as a relationship power of attorney. The thing is, we can't see ourselves sometimes. And I've made some mistakes in relationships and the people I've chosen to be in relationship with. And so Brian's my prayer partner. And so one of the things I always do is check in with what's going on in my relationship. And so we all have these aspects of ourselves that we don't see. And we see them by the pet peeves we have about other people. We look at ourselves, and again, if it's not a situational thing, it can be another aspect of it. It can also be an unhealed area in your life. For example, like I said, suppose you're raised in a family where everybody, you know, snarks at each other. That was my family. My mom said, I love you, but my dad never did. And what I heard was snarking and criticism and, you know, if I did good, why didn't you do better? If I did bad, it's all your fault. If the sun came up wrong, it was our fault. And so I was always snarked at. And so now I'm very hypersensitive to criticism. It doesn't mean that I'm necessarily a critical person, although that is something I have struggled with in the past and still have to be careful about. Again, there's that second aspect. Used to do it, working really hard not to do it, so therefore I'm very sensitive to it. And then there's also this aspect of being sensitive to it because it's something inside of us that still hurts that we need to work on, we need to address. We need to do some forgiveness with ourselves and with the other person. We need to release, we need to let go. So understand that you have aspects of your personality you don't realize are there. The people you're in a relationship with have aspects of their personality they don't realize are there. And one of the hardest things to do is to not be a personality police person. To not be a person who feels it is your job to share with the other person what you see they need to work on. Because if you see something they need to work on, chances are you got it too, and you need to work on it equally, if not more. So notice this concept of if you spot it, you got it. Consider your pet peeves. If you really are serious about self-improvement, and I know those of you who are here with me every day are, write down the things about your personality, or rather about other people, that you find to be a bit irritating. And then look at yourself and see if either you have the issue, you yourself. Be honest, it's hard. You used to have the issue and you use it as a defense mechanism of keeping it away, or you experienced it as a trauma and you need to work on healing it. Our pet peeves, just like everything else, are there to teach us. Teach us what? How to enjoy our lives better by releasing things that keep us unhappy. Let me take a look and see. A ton of you have joined right now, and I want to make sure that I acknowledge all of you. Thank you so much. Please post questions, comments, etc. at the bottom. I see that Juanita is here. Janet Hughes is watching. Pat Graham is here. Hi, Pat. Jean Amon, Jean Lytle, rather, and Marcia Sewell. Charlene Black, Mark Booher. Tiffany Long is here. So is Marcy Tibbetts. Michelle Laramie, I beg your pardon. Owen Waxman is here, so is Kay Wrighton and Vicki Hall Princeton, Janet Morsky Lewis, Kathy Alberts is here. There's so many of you. Deb McMahon and Lori Tapia. Also, Sheila Summers. There we go. Awesome. And finally, John Bayfield, I see. Byfield is here. Thank you all so much for joining me. Help us build a complaint-free world. How do you do that? Share this message. Share the complaint-free messages that I do on a daily basis. And let your friends and family know that they can live a better, happier, healthier life and continue to do it yourself. You know, once again, I want to remind you that the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. To be free from the pain, worry, and challenges in your life, it takes effort. Most people won't make it, but you're making it, and you're doing it today. Enjoy today, and I will see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world.